Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio is about to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. And Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. It is the 4th of March at 7:05, and our phone lines here are 605-4567. That's a 530 area code for all of yous out of the country. You out of the country or the state. Ewens. And we are streaming at KCNR1460.com. Just go to the website, click on it, and then you can hear the show, and then you can join our chat room, our coffee clatch, our group of our 300.
Good morning.
I'm joined by Bad Bob, who is on there. We'll talk about that other thing in a second there,
and
Bad Bob.
Good morning.
How are you today, Bad Bob?
Doing quite well.
You're looking spectacular sunrise. You are looking bumblebee-ish today.
Yeah. Well, that is the name of the company.
Yeah. Oh, okay, that's right. And, of course, speaking of being stung by love, here's Linda.
Thank you so much. And, you know, I guess my heart is filled with gratitude. I'm not sure if it's, you know, fabulous Friday feeling. I don't know. But I do want to thank Jim Bremer, and I want to thank Bob Belongi, and our crew here who always makes our day run smoothly. I mean, you know, we also want to share with you, as we go through our day and we're going from meeting to meeting and just run into, you know, great citizens of the North State, we hear things and we talk to people, and it just is like, wow, you listen, and you know, we like to interconnect. So yesterday, and I want to start off the morning by giving a huge shout-out to Kent's Meats. Yesterday, Carl and I went to Kent's Meats and got a tour of the facility. Now, many of you, you know, we drive by Kent's Meats on the way to the airport, and you may have, you know, they carry Prate the Ranch, and they have wonderful Kathy's Deli, and but we got a chance to see how deep of an operation they really run. And Kent was on the floor, Kathy's back there with these girls that are just smiling. There must have been six or seven women back in making deli food that were really happy to be there.
Well, they've been there for years. Some of them, you know, 23 years, 27 years, been working there.
The aunts have come back, retired, have come back, and they're doing the bookkeeping. It's like it's a real family-owned business. And we found out some very interesting things, such as, you know, of course, when season comes in and your elk or your deer or your, you know, they'll make special sausage right there in the premises. We saw the machines and certain meats and cuts. But the really cool thing was being able to have like the what are they called, the chewy stick. I mean, that's,
well, what they do is they'll take Prather beef and make it into a stick with cheddar in it and this.
But
and,
they'll take your
if they'll but they will yeah they will take your like
antelope.
I'm taking antelope down there, and other people can take deer and other animals and wildlife, and then they will make it into almost any type. They'll make it into sausage. You got their own, of course, sausage maker. They'll make it in these beef sticks. We're just outstanding.
Well, everybody was really happy to be there. And we just want to let you know that this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, they have got a killer fish special going on with a big semi-truck that is pulled up, and they're going to have live lobster, halibut. We saw, you know, 30-pound halibuts. Everything is fresh. It's just come in, and it's going to be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I know we're going to go stock up. Yeah. I want the lobster tails. And then they had
anyway, what a surprise.
So, but it was really a heartwarming,
you know,
for me to see this.
I didn't realize when you're driving by, it's like Todd says, you know, the son. And we met Craig, and Jeff, who work back there in the meat production part. But when you drive by there, it's what they say. You know, you see a gas station, and it looks kind of like a little mom and pop store. But you go in there, it just keeps going back and back and back, and you know, you can get anything there. And then, you know, different freezers they've built. I mean, they do a little bit of everything there. And so,
and
you know what? When he invited us there, it was off of a Trudy Pratt show that he was on,
right?
Her show, and we met him through that, Todd. And then that's why we went back.
And so we just, you know, encourage you to go out and see the specials and that they have. Anyway, and a lot of local. They really celebrate local. Today, 2 p.m.,
at 2 p.m. is the Maurice Johannesson's brother's funeral up at IGO. That John, who passed away, we like to send out our prayers and everything for the Johannesson family. And we'll talk a bit more about this later on in the show. We're going to take a quick break here. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460. The home of video on KCNR, 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Good morning. It's Carl and Linda Bott, 7:14 in the morning on March the 4th. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. Or you can join us for streaming at KCNR1460.com, and you can chat with us, as have the 300. I like to call them the 300, kind of like those Spartans. They're here in the morning. They pick up their shields and their swords and their coffee. And it's kind of hard to do with a shield in one hand and a sword in the other, but they can still do it. And then they're out there. And they've got, you know, we have Valerie, Indie Guy. I mean, it's just many, many out there. Okay, other things that are happening in our town. Like last night, we've got the city council voted. They approved Costco, buying Costco. And Costco looks like it's going to be moving to Oasis. And then we've got just a number of other things that the council worked on as priorities. They picked up priorities. They talked of outsourcing. We're going to get all of that in a little bit later. But I know that there's something else that we need to do. I mean, that we're talking about this weekend. Besides Kent's, you know, we just went out there because we didn't know really what to expect at Kent's, and it was just a great time.
Well, there's a lot of stuff obviously scheduled for this weekend, but we were talking about the fact that, you know, it's the RV and boat show, and that also is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And Saturday we're going to be out. It's Anderson Fairgrounds. We're going to be out there Saturday judging the Dutch oven, I guess it's the cook-off. And I think there's 12 participants, which means that there's inside that campsite, there's probably three or four people, and it's amazing what they cook. And so we have three... per entree, we have three bread entree and dessert that we have to judge for texture, creativeness, presentation, etc. So we're encouraging you to come out and join us, and that's really a trip. And then that evening, we'll be at the Redding Rancheria, which is a 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s costume-themed evening where they're going to be announcing a $10,000 gift that they're going to be giving to one of the 49 that they've already given to throughout the past year. So that should be a wonderful evening if you're not doing anything or you've been saving up to go out. That's fabulous. And also while the boat and RV show is going on, don't forget Harrison's Marina does an in-house special promotion that weekend. And again, that's another family-owned business. Go in and meet the owner, Rob, and his great staff. If you're thinking about boats or RVs, they've got them right there. They're going to just really used and new. So Harrison's Marina also over the weekend.
Okay, Lee, let's go to the phones. Jay, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you all today?
Hey, Jay.
Hi, Linda. How are you doing?
We're great.
You know, you were talking about Kent's, and when I worked for the city, that's where I went for lunch every day because I worked nearby there. And I got to tell you, I love that place. It's got a family environment. I mean, just to give an example, I think, maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, I was down there, and they were selling pastrami. And one of the guys there, he opens up a package and says, "Here, taste it."
Yeah.
You know, take a test, take a handful.
Isn't that cool?
I mean, you don't do that at Safeway or Rally. They'll arrest you. I mean,
don't like that at Safeway. You go in and just open up something and say, "Yeah, I'd like to taste it." You know, I got something at a store the other day. I wish I could have tasted it. You know, because you know it was. You know, and I, after I got home, I went, "Ugh." So
yeah, but I mean, that's the kind of place it is. And I mean, they got killer sandwiches there. I've eaten more lunches there than I can count. But it's just a. It's a really nice place, and I'm glad you were giving them some props.
Well, you know, it's another local business. They've been there, I think, 35 years. You know, not that there aren't other businesses, but they invited us out, and it was nice of them to do that and to see how they smoke and do all that stuff. And it's a well-known business. I mean, there's, you know, a lot of people just on the comments on the chat line have been there.
Well, Gary, the vice president of the Yellow Cab here in town, he's an avid hunter, and he's always having his stuff taken there to be processed.
Well, absolutely. They've got a freezer there. It's got people's names on these boxes of all the wild game that they've taken, and what it is, what's in there. Yeah. So it's great.
Well, Jay, great. So what's happening on the cab scene this weekend? What are you looking for? Or what's happening this week? Or what have you seen?
Well, it's the first to third week kind of deal. So we're running like chickens with our heads cut off, trying to keep up with everybody who just got their checks. So, but things are good. People are spending money, and it seems to be pretty upbeat. So things are, you know, all is well.
Well, that's good.
Right,
how about the gas prices? How's that hitting?
Oh, they're horrid. I spent $70 on gas yesterday.
Ooh.
Ouch. Yeah. Well,
that's off the top. That's out of my pocket. So I cried all the way home. You know.
Okay. Well, yeah. You know, that's going to happen. You know, I don't see that getting any better. Even though the economy looks like it may be starting to perk up a little bit, but people seem to forget. They're going, well, you know, the unemployment rate is going down. It's down to, like, 8.9, the lowest it's been in 2 years. More people are being hired. I think, you know, when they continued the tax cuts and people are fighting this health care bill and they're defunding it, I think people are starting to have a little more faith in the government and the economy. So maybe this will start into the maybe we'll actually have the brass to actually start getting our own oil instead of having to rely on countries that are in the middle of revolutions all the time.
What a concept. Who would have thunk it?
Yeah. Okay. Hey, Jay, thanks a lot for calling.
Yeah, I always enjoy chatting with you. Have a wonderful day.
Our yellow cab guy, Jay.
That's right. You know what? We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about the city council. I see comments in there. From some of the people, it looks like they were there. If they want to give a call to us, we'll take their comments. But about what happened at the city council with the voting to buy Costco moving out to Oasis, the priorities that they've set for themselves, and privatization of different departments in the city. This is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460. Free Fire Radio on KCNR 14. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott, 7:24 in the morning on the 4th. This portion of the show brought to you by Lumberjacks. Monday through Friday, they have a great breakfast. They've got them from ham and eggs, steak and eggs, you name it, and they're all great prices. $3.99 for the ham and eggs. And local business, 501 East Cypress, owned by our members of our community. That's Lumberjacks. A great place to eat. Great service. Great people.
It's going to be a mostly sunny day today with a high of 62. It is currently 40 degrees on this beautiful day of March. It is March 4th. And speaking of sunny dispositions, let's go to Amy. We promised that once a week we're going to give you a fitness tip, and who better to give it to you than Amy Palko?
Thank you, guys. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. So what's going on?
Hey, you know, a lot of small races are coming up, and there's a lot of people who've never run a 10K or a half marathon or even a marathon and feel like they can't do it. Well, I want to let you know that you don't have to be a runner. You can just be a casual walk jogger, and you can participate in these runs if it's really in your heart and you want to do so. But there's a couple things you want to do. You want to make sure you plan way ahead of time so you have time to deal with the hectic things of life that come up that won't affect your training. So a good, 3-6 months out at least, when you pick a race and, kind of plan out ahead of time, about a good 3 to 6 months. The other thing is find a partner. It's really important to have a partner to push you, to help motivate you, to say, hey, look, we set a date to run this marathon or this 10K or this half marathon. We need to keep up with this running schedule. And if you're not a runner, you can do like a walk-jog method. You're still going to cross that finish line. And for that matter, you could speed walk it and still cross that finish line and say, yes, I did a 10K. Yes, I did a half marathon or a full marathon. You need to pace yourself the day of the race. Don't go gunning out after they shoot the gun off. Don't go at your highest speed. Pace yourself and enjoy what you're doing. Enjoy the fact that you're taking care of yourself and you're participating in something new.
All right.
And make sure afterwards you stretch, stretch, stretch.
Thank you, Amy. It's always great to hear that food for thought, and we really appreciate you calling in on KCNR Friday morning.
You are the bomb from Adamson's Peak Performance.
All right, Amy, thanks.
All right, guys.
See you Monday.
So
All right.
All right. Okay, let's go to the phones. John, good morning.
Good morning, Carl, Linda.
Morning.
Bob.
Yeah, want to talk about that meeting yesterday?
I'll talk a little bit about it. I'm not sure that I can hold it together about it.
Well, you know what?
Well, shoot from the hip. Let's go.
Okay, well, first of all, let me say, Linda, I thought it was nice that you acknowledged that your staff there at KNCR as being so much more than just staff.
They're family.
That they're family and that you guys work together as a team as good as it can be done.
Thank you.
We love these people.
Now, you know, I want to read you just a little note I took at that meeting yesterday that was kind of sums up how I feel about the whole thing, and you'll see why I said I'm not sure I should talk about this too much. The city's going broke, and Nero's playing his fiddle, and the council rates bike lanes and metal fish as a priority. What a joke. We have things that are so important going on in this world right now, in the county, in the state, and definitely we need to address some serious issues here in the city. And complete streets was given the number one priority. Complete streets being defined as basically beautification and completion of streets and bike lanes and metal fish and palm trees and things that are really essential to the city's well-being. Now, let me say that this complete streets is a mandated thing by the state, as it turns out, so it doesn't really have to be prioritized or even considered as an emphatic item to the city. But the fact that five council people sat together and did a matrixed accounting of their priorities for the city, and what came up number one was complete streets. I think we have some more, and that's, by the way, not to include things like filling in potholes and stuff. No. This is, you know, additions to the streets.
Yeah, you know, not only are the complete streets, but they went into, they had, what, five different priorities?
And there was even more lengthy than that, but that's okay. Go ahead. We'll deal with the five.
Yeah, because, you know, we're running out of time here on this
right.
one. But they said they looked at privatization in some of the departments.
True.
They looked at taking the Oasis Road and Churn Creek and pushing it all the way through.
Pushing it all the way through.
That's going to be a fist fight because there's people.
It's not going to happen.
Oh, you don't think so? Why?
No, there's no money for it.
Well, besides that.
That's the number one issue, but the families that they've been through this fight before and won, the families that would be processed with eminent domain in regards to having their property taken away, they've been through it. They fought it, and they're willing to fight it again. They're well funded, and they don't want this to happen. It's not going to happen.
What do you think? What was the general thought about the Costco purchase deal?
You know, it was kind of disappointing because the meeting yesterday was extremely well attended up to the point that they adjourned and came into being as the redevelopment agency, and then there was only like five of us in the entire audience.
Okay, we've run out of time, John, on this. We're going to be talking about it later on in the show. We've got some other guests we have to get, you know, that are coming on right after this. But we want to talk a little bit more about that and a couple other things, too, about this. It's something we want to cover. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. 7:33 in the morning on March the 4th, 2011. We're just moving. It's Friday, gang. Only two more working days till Monday. This portion of the show is brought to you by BNT Satellite. They put in Dish Satellite. Doug Tooley does. His phone number is 244-1988. He's been in the business since 1985, except the time he was in the 82nd Airborne. Local guy. Does great work. Guarantees his work. That's Doug Tooley, BNT Satellite, Dish Satellite, 244-1988. Now, we have some special guests here. Karen Twite is here. Good morning.
Good morning.
And, okay, don't talk to me. Talk to that microphone.
Okay.
I know I'm a lot more exciting. But we're looking, look at Bad Bob over there.
Okay.
All right, look at that bumblebee cut he's got going there. That's right. Hey, we're here to talk about a great show y'all are putting on. It has to do with the USO.
Mm-hmm. It's called Don't Say No to the USO. I am the director and manager of the drama program at Pacheco School. And we are putting on a performance tonight and tomorrow, matinee tomorrow on Saturday, at Anderson Union High School. And we've brought some students along this morning to sing a little bit of one of those songs for you guys.
Okay, now what's the musical about?
It's set in the 1940s in a USO club in Brooklyn, New York. And there are some spies afoot in this club, and they're getting information back to the Germans. And so we have a soldier called Kilroy. We've all heard of the cartoon Kilroy Was Here. And he's our Kilroy, Private Kilroy. And he thwarts the spies. And it has a happy conclusion in the end. And the spies are arrested by the agents and the government men. And the USO can carry on its work, being a home from home for the servicemen and women.
Great. Okay, USO is a great place. Now let's introduce our players here.
Okay, we have Shayna Stevens.
Say good morning.
Good morning.
Okay.
We have McKenna Treadway.
Good morning.
We have Nels Kapener.
Good morning.
And we have Darby Twite.
Good morning.
See, you two in relation? How come your mom talks differently than you?
Because she was born in England and I wasn't.
Still it was you, dear.
Okay, so what do you want to do then, Karen?
They're going to sing our opening song, and it's called Don't Say No to the USO.
Okay. Are you ready there, Bad Bob?
Get ready to roll.
Here we go.
Live.
You can hear it.
They were trying to hear it through the headphones.
And there's
You can hear it, but you guys, that was great because you really had your pitch down. You had your rhythm down. I applaud you. Fabulous.
Now, you know that the USO was set up to, United Service Organization was set up to entertain troops, and it's been going on for a real long time. And that it's always been a mainstay for our military.
Before we take a break, I'd like to just go down the line and say, what does this show mean to you? Let's start off with our first gal here.
Darby.
I really do like our drama program at Pacheco School, and I'm very happy that my mom has brought it to our school so I can enjoy performing in front of everyone.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Very eloquent. Nels.
I like the drama club at Pacheco School because it's just like a fun way to spend all my extra time during the week.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
Not a bad way to spend your time. I think it's pretty positive.
I like doing pops at Pacheco because it gives us a chance to express how we feel in front of an audience.
That's good.
And that can be very empowering.
Yeah, we have that. We have that feeling every so often.
Yeah.
And
don't step on somebody's lines, right?
I like pops at Pacheco School because I've always been in the theater, and I just switched here last year, and at my old school we didn't have any of that, so it's just really special to be able to do that.
Well, that's super. Well, thank you.
Did you hear that? That's the empowerment of what these musical and then these theatrical programs can mean to, and you're in sixth and seventh grade. This is such a crucial time in developing your life's patterns. And so we really commend you, and we commend the moms out there, and you guys have break a leg. You look it up. I'm sure you can look it up about what it means. There's so many sayings. But it is an old vaudevillain saying that means good luck.
Okay, now, Karen, tell us one more time. Give us all the stuff about it here so everybody can go.
Okay, the show will be tonight at 7 o'clock at Anderson Union High School Performing Arts Center. And we will perform again tomorrow. We have a matinee on tomorrow, Saturday, at 3 o'clock at Anderson Union High School also. It's open to all of the local community from Reading and Anderson and Cottonwood. And we would love everybody to come. It's a really fun show. We have seven singing numbers in it. It has an element of comedy to it. I think everybody, it's a good family, good way to have some family entertainment. Tickets are $5 a piece, a great deal for a one and a half hour show. So please, everybody, come along and see it. You'll have a great time.
I think you will. Well, thank you so much, the performers of Pacheco. Did I say that right? I did. Okay, and you know y'all had a great float in the parade, Christmas parade too. So y'all are just all out there everywhere, aren't you? Okay. Well, thank you so much, and Karen, thanks for bringing everybody in. Thanks, moms, for allowing your children to come in here on this show. Sometimes it's not always they can't walk in and walk out this easy. Sometimes we ask you hard questions.
And Carl, I would like to thank KCNR for being our sponsor this year. It's been awesome, and you help us put our float together for the Christmas parade and helped us in our show, and we appreciate that help.
Well, thank you. You know what? It's we're a community radio station, and we this is our community. We love it here, and if we can help out, you know, we try to do that.
And as an alumnus of the fine institution from K through 8, I would say go Jaguars.
Yay!
Okay. All right, thanks a lot. Hey, we got to take a break here. Carl on the bot. Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Yeah, well, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media and happiness and excitement, 7:45 in the morning on March 4th. Yeah. Okay.
Currently 40 degrees.
That's right.
And we're going to have a beautiful day today. It's going to be sunny.
Rock.
And you know what? The chat room's been going, and we are going to go back onto a subject that we did before. We had the kids come and sing, which was phenomenal. But let's get back to...
Let's get back into this. Let's go talk about Costco. Okay, you know, for people who think there's another something else in the wings there, I don't think so. Peter Hansen is on the show, and he is... of course, the best option, I think, anybody would agree, is you take a piece of land, you build it up from scratch, but it's cost so much money. They have gone and visited other places where they've retrofitted these buildings. We had the opportunity to look at a lot of the slides of these, some that have been retrofitted like this, and there is a lot to be said for it, and it saves a lot of money. So, you know, now your question is location. And people say, well, gosh, you know, Costco. I mean, if you know, what happens then to the place while they're what happens to other places? You know, what about other big box stores that's moving out to Oasis? Well, that's true, but they're going to move, my friends. They want to get bigger, and let's just face it. You may not like it, but that's just what's going to happen. They're going to move. So, if the city can get some kind of an advantage out of it, we'll do that. Now, next week we'll have one of the city council members in, maybe two of them, so we can talk on different levels of it. But. The other thing, too, is talking about privatization. You know, the last time they talked about privatization, it kind of got stuffed at them. The staff didn't like it. The people doing the study were from that department. Can we do it? Rick Bassetti says is that there's other towns that have got like 53 employees, and they use privatization for everything. You know, I'm thinking to myself, the problems we're having with unions. I mean, already our city council, you know, is in, and look at the last election, the problems we had, you know, dealing with the unions. If you have all these privatization of these places, is it going to be more unions? Is it going to be something they can put in there? Is that there won't be unions? That they can't strike? You know, if they bring garbage, if they bring in the garbage collectors, what if they go on strike? Can they? Well, it's just all these are questions that have to come up. But I'm glad to see this, that some people went to the meeting, and even though that the... you know, when they went for the prioritization, and the not as quite as many as according to John were there for it. We're seeing things in the chat room. They're against retrofit because it's costly and will not be satisfactory regardless. We don't have any money. Well, that's true, but they're usually finding out different funds on it. But here's something, my friends, is this. The police station is a wreck. Sharon hit it right there. Have you seen the police building? It's truly a mess structurally. It absolutely is. There's no room. The ceilings are falling in. Water fountains are catching on fire. Something's got to be done. So what?
What can we do?
Or do we continue to do that? And then the other thing is maybe look at the priority of the funds. I see the other things, too. Okay, let's have sidewalks as opposed to having potholes. I think one of the comments was we need to have both. Well, it's kind of like, it would be nice to have both. But, you know, to have a nice street and with sidewalks and all that, I mean, that's great. That's, you know, everybody wants that, and trails and all those things. But it's just like everything else. We're asking people to take cuts in their pay. We're asking people to do these other things. At the same time, maybe we should get our priorities in to fixing the infrastructure before we go off to the sides of the streets. Yes, maybe the state is saying this. But, you know, the state is so far in debt right now, and they're getting ready to cut back billions of dollars, and you think it's bad now, it could get a lot worse. So I think we need to really take a good look at all that. Okay, time to change the subject. I love this in the Record Searchlight. You know, the Record Searchlight and Kent Dagg have always they've been having a feud for a period of time. And what the paper said today was that the exact says is state investigators have closed the investigation about the mishandling of public money, and they said no charges were filed. Well, it said that the Kent Dagg and other former state compensation insurance fund employees, blah blah, without filing criminal charges. Well, what they could have said also was that the state investigators cleared Kent Dagg of all charges for allegedly mishandling the money, because there were no charges. There was nothing there. It wasn't that they just didn't file charges. They cleared him. Now, Kent Dagg's no friend of mine. I mean, I know Kent. He's been on the show here, but come on. I mean, a four-year investigation. He's been under a cloud. People have been more than happy to poke at him. Nothing. Nothing. He's been cleared. And that's what he should have said. That's just my opinion. Got to take a break. Carl and Lindebach, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. And 8 o'clock, we're going to have Les Paul on here. We're going to be talking about some of the things they're doing at the county that may save them money. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Lindebach. 7:53 in the morning. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive. Great place to walk in and get that perfect cigar, or those cigarette, well, I should say tobacco accessories, and, of course, Espresso Joe's. Great coffee, great prices. Joe and Shelley support the community. They support our veterans. And they are ones who make our community a better place.
Did you know on this day? I mean, we're gonna keep addressing what's going on in the chat room, and plus we have to talk about a memorial as well. But it was on this day in 1933, on March 4th, that Franklin D. Roosevelt was inaugurated as the 32nd president of the United States, pledging to lead the country out of the Great Depression. I mean, every now and then it just blows our minds what happens on this day. In Germany in 1936. It was the Hindenburg's first official flight. Amazing things. Just, you know, I mean,
the Hindenburg's first flight. You know, and you remember how it, I mean, it, the way it ended when it blew up and it came into New York, or I think it was New York and New Jersey. It was just, I mean, it is still something that is played today, that newsreel. Oh, the humanity of it, you know, all that. So.
Right. In 1987, President Ronald Reagan addressed the nation on the Iran-Contra affair, acknowledging that talks with Iran had turned on arms for hostages negotiation. In 1902, the AAA started.
The AAA?
AAA.
Really? In 1902?
In 1902, USA AAA.
Is that, you mean
Automobile
like the
Automobile Association?
In 1902?
Yes. Yep. 1902.
Okay, I knew we
Getting
had cars.
Getting a tow was tougher back then.
Well, I was going to say, what did you, I mean, the, so who did you call?
Here's one you'll love.
What do you talk about? I mean, what do they give you? Here's a map.
This is one you'll love, and then we'll go to the other one. In 1952, Ernest Hemingway had finished a novel entitled The Old Man and the Sea. The book had won the Pulitzer Prize a year later, and unfortunately Hemingway committed suicide in the year 1961, making The Old and the Sea Hemingway's last major work of fiction.
The Old Man and the Sea, yeah. You know, what a great, great story that was.
And one of the movie was just classic.
Yeah, it was. It was classic. It was, you know, Spencer Tracy. Oh, wonderful. Okay, you know, we want to talk about a memorial service being held today out at IGO. John Johannesson, the brother of Maurice Johannesson, and his family are having the service out today at 2 p.m. at IGO at the California Veterans Cemetery. And John Johannesson was born June 3rd, 1933, in Lhasa, Nigeria, to missionary parents. His early childhood was spent with his siblings in Africa, and they returned to Oslo, Norway in 1940, and they moved to Southern California in 1951. John followed his parents in 52 after he had finished school. He was soon drafted into the U.S. Army and served in the Korean War, became a U.S. citizen while he served our country. He loved the United States, and he remained here for the rest of his life, although he always loved his legacy of being a Viking. It seems like that whole family is one of Vikings. And
they're warriors.
They're warriors. Our prayers and our thoughts go out to the Johannesson family. Maurice Johannesson is probably the better known as a senator and what he has done in government. But his family is one that loved this United States. They came here and stayed. And Maurice will tell you that how much he loves his country. And one of the things that he has done, of the many things, the latest thing he has done, of course, is the Northern California Veterans Cemetery chapel that he built out there. And that chapel is going to be dedicated March 19th at 11 a.m. We, of course, will be there.
Mark your calendars. It's very important that we as a community take a little early lunch break, whatever you have to do. We all need to be out there and just embrace the fact that, acknowledging the fact that this is a huge feat. And, again, Johannesson put his blood, sweat, and tears and some of his own just to get it going. Let's get it going. Not even going to deal with the fact that we got to go through red tape. We're going to get it going. And there's been a lot of support from our community, our builders, our roofers, our plumbers that have come out, and they've also dedicated hours and hours and given of their time, their blood, sweat, and tears. This is what we can do as a community. I know, not to change things, but if you really are upset about the police station, go take a tour and see. We have to be activists in that.
Well, it's like everything. We have to join into things. On this one here, they're asking that any donations would be to the Northern California Veterans Cemetery and Chapel, or the Alzheimer's Association. That's today. The service for John Johannesson will be today again at IGO at the Northern California Veterans Cemetery at 2 p.m. So, again, thank you very much for your service to our country. John. All right, and then like you said, we're having the dedication ceremony on March 19th. You know, the things you see in the paper, and we've got 2 minutes here before we go into, or 1 minute before we go into our news break, and then come back with Les Paul. There's good news on the economic front, my friends. I mean, it's unemployment's going down. The underemployed numbers are also going down. More jobs are being created. You know what? Maybe, you know, it's not all darkness. You know, a lot of times we just see darkness, and oh my gosh, it's terrible. What's this and this and this? You know, we haven't finished this. We're still fighting, but they're starting to see. You know, maybe things are starting to get a little bit better. So we don't want to stop. We want to keep pushing. We want to keep trying. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
To Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, it's the home of Carl and Linda Bott, also since we probably live here half the time, at 8:05 on March the 4th. What a great, great day this is going to be. All right, hon?
Currently 42 degrees. Fabulous day outside, mostly sunny with a high of 62. Tonight we're going to have a little bit of clouds with a low of around 45 degrees. Saturday, there's going to be rain. Don't let that stop you. 60% chance of rain. And, you know, we've had this the last couple of days where it rains and then it clears up and it's beautiful. When you get that real clear sky and the smell of the earth when it's damp and then the clouds come out. So that's fabulous. So don't let it stop you from going out and doing activities tomorrow. Tomorrow night we'll have rain, of course. And then the weekend we'll have a shower. So it's going to be a beautiful day. And the weather is always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Tomorrow night, North Star Sessions will be on tour, and they will be there from 8 to 11. Make your reservations. They're going to be sold out. There's not a lot of seating in the area where you can go get your five-star meal and listen to this phenomenal band, Unplugged. They're national now. They've been on Parenthood. The phone number to call is 474-5546. That's North Star Sessions. Interviewed them last night. They are just an up-and-coming band ready to cut their second album. So I'm sure if you want to hear a really great band, they'll be Unplugged. And there's three guys that are they're really a good band. So there you go.
Well, plus, you know, the food and being up there, the food and the wine, it's just makes for a perfect night. And, John, don't leave yet. We have Les Abaugh here.
Good morning.
Good morning. And we're going to be talking about some things in the county, but we're also going to talk some national things. I asked Les if he wouldn't mind just, you know, leaning into some questions that are going on across the United States right now, and he had some really good comments. We're going to get to that in a minute. But, you know, something you were just talking about, Les, about being active. Getting active.
Absolutely.
Let's talk a little bit about that.
You know, I've been taking this message everywhere. I've been speaking in front of groups and clubs, tea parties, and you name it. We do a lot of complaining out there about our local government, but very few people are willing to actually get involved. Here's my observation. On a Tuesday morning at a board meeting, we have probably 10 or 15 people that are employed by the county. We have the Board of Supervisors, and we have 5 people from the audience, and that's on a good day, unless there's something very controversial. There we go. I'll finish my word. And we spend on a weekly basis several $1 million of the public's money, and yet few people, if ever, weigh in on any of that.
You know, I've noticed that because when I go to it too, yeah. You know, one of the things we do, we provide a forum for people, and you should just see the chat room and the people calling us. We know, Les, you've been here before. And these people are active, but the people that are active that go to these meetings and chat with us and get on that are talking to us are the same ones that go to a lot of the meetings. And it does. It has to be almost a special interest that comes up that's going to pique somebody, like motorcycles or medical marijuana or something like that, before people flow in there.
That's the truth. And so what I'm suggesting for people, rather than simply find information out from you folks on the radio or even from the newspaper or TV, and, you know, it's hard to really discuss a meeting in a couple of minutes of time, I'm suggesting they actually start attending. And if they would like to, there are a lot of boards and agencies that we can make appointments to that they can apply for. For example, there is an opening on the Board of Building Appeals on the Air Quality Management District, Superior California Economic Development District.
Now, the Air
Community
Quality
Action Board, yeah.
Talk to me about that Air Quality Board. What do you have? I mean, what are they talking about there? Is this something you could actually have an impact in to help people here, that they don't have to rebuild every engine they own?
Well, this vacancy, and, you know, there's a variety of positions on all these boards, and they have to be made up of kind of a diverse segment of the population. This particular agency now has an opening for a registered professional engineer to sit on their board, so somebody with some technical ability. But there are members of the general public and so on and so forth. The bottom line is that once you get on a board, yes, you have the ability to make a difference in your community. That's how I got involved. I started complaining when I was involved in a building project. Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Oh,
this
yeah.
was in the community of Anderson, and this was years ago in the early 80s, and I thought I was going to pay somebody to get a building permit. And the mayor of Anderson at that time, Jerry Voorhees, I'll never forget, came over to me and he says, "Les Baugh, you have a really big mouth." And I said, "Okay." He says, "How about if you put that to work for the community of Anderson instead of just complaining? I'd like to point you to the Planning Commission. You'll have an opportunity to make a difference in our community." I believed him. He did. I did. That's how I got involved in government.
Well, I think that's what we have. You know, that we have a lot of people that comment about it, and, you know, that they're there on it. And but, you know, we need people like that. But you can only be on so many committees. You can only be to so many meetings. We need to have, you know, if we could get just like 10%. I think, of the county and the city, 10% that would show up or be active like this, I mean, we're talking about 900 people for the city. That would be huge. Just 10% of the city, 5% of the city.
You'd fill every chamber.
Every time.
Yeah.
Okay, we got to take a quick break here. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Our guest, Les Ball, we're talking about, hey, let's get involved. I mean, besides just watching it, let's get involved in some of these committees. But we've got a lot of other things we're going to be talking about when we get back. Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media and Carl and Linda.
Love that sax solo.
8:14 in the morning on March the 4th, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Lumberjacks. They've got a senior menu there. It must be 55 or older.
That hurts.
Two for $12. Well, you're not there yet.
It's still so young.
Less is. okay, maybe less isn't. Okay, one of us in here is Bad Bob. Sorry it's you. Okay, Lumberjacks has a senior menu. Must be 55 or older.
I'm there.
And they have, just a great menu. It's for two for $12. Two of these meals for $12. And it's not these little, like a hamburger or something. No, they've got chicken breast dinner, roasted turkey, pot roast, and for those people, sautéed liver and onions. So that's Lumberjacks. That's just a great deal. That's a great deal. Okay, that's 501 East Cypress. It's a local business owned by our neighbors here.
Our guest this morning is Les Ball. Welcome back to the program.
Awesome.
Of course, our chat room is open. And at the break, we something that we want to revisit before we go on. We're talking about being involved in the community. The chat room is all about show up to city council. One of our chatters said that there's maybe six people that come on a regular basis, and they feel like the city council doesn't really look at those six as being representative of the 92,000 plus whatever's in the community. So we're talking about being involved with boards, on boards, appointments. Unless you gave a list, how can you, one more time, share with our listeners what's on that list right now where people can get involved and be on a board to make a movement and make a change in this great North State of ours?
Well, there's a variety of things on this list. I think rather than going through each agency and confusing people, here's how you get your own list. Dial 225-5557, ask for Glenda Tracy. She's the Chief Deputy Clerk of the Board. I know she'll be happy to either mail or email your list to you, and you can have your own list, go through it, ask questions, get involved. That's my message.
Now, these people that head up these volunteer programs here, are they getting paid like $50,000, $60,000 a year like they do at the state?
No.
Okay.
I think you'd have these boards would be full if they were getting paid.
So you get like free water or something like that?
On a good day. This is Shasta County where we've cut back nearly everything, so... The water, actually, we got rid of bottled water. You've probably heard that.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Give me the number one more time.
225-5557. And that's Glenda Tracy.
Okay.
Ask for Glenda.
Goes out in the chat room. Let's go to the phones. Roberta, good morning. You are on KCNR 1460.
Yeah, good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Hi, Roberta.
Good morning, Les.
Oh, good morning.
I had a question. Have you ever discussed or tried alternating the meetings from... every other month and have them in the evening so that people that work could be able to attend?
We've had a great deal of discussion about changing times and even locations. We actually have them every week at the Shasta County Board of Supervisors, so they're every Tuesday at 9 a.m. We do change the time for public hearings that are essential to a large segment of the population. For example, a couple of years ago we considered the Auto Mall. We changed that to an evening meeting to make it more accessible for the public. It worked. We would continue to do that if something came about that needed a change.
Roberta, that's really a good point because I work at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Bad Bob works. Roberta works. Everybody I know.
Maybe you should do it once a quarter.
So that maybe, like I would say at least once a month. I mean.
Well, or every other meeting.
Or every other meeting.
I think they could rotate. Because when you go to the city council meeting, that place is packed. And I think it's because it's later.
Whatever we do, we need to be consistent with the county. And I'm sure that we want to make sure that people don't question when they find us and where they find us. So consistency works. I'll tell you, I belong to, I believe now, 12 different boards, half of which are during the day, half of which are during the evening. I find complacency at both. If the issue is a hot topic, people are there. And if it's not, they're not there. And I have them ranging all the way from 9 in the morning until 7 at night.
Well, I agree with you, but I would like you to give it a try and see if more people wouldn't show up. Anyway, thank you.
Thanks, Roberta.
Bye.
Okay. I mean, that's a good point, though, you know, Les, is because there are a lot of people that work during the day, and that so the people you may have that show up year five are people that, you know, that are retired or don't have jobs or looking to get out of the rain. But if you had it, you know, if you just, you know, if you publicize and said every other week it's going to be at 6 p.m., there and just try that out for a few months to see how that works, because I understand that. Remember, that was a good point, that 9 o'clock in the morning, a lot of people just who would like to be there would have to take off work.
That could turn into staff overtime. That has to be taken into consideration.
And that was one of the reasons that this was discussed publicly. That was one of the reasons that mm-hmm. We were very careful about what we do and the changes we make.
Okay.
County, as I mentioned, the room is full of people. There are staffers. They're all being paid to be there. We want to make sure that we don't waste the public's money in that respect either. It'll continue to be a topic discussion. If ever it seems appropriate, I think the board's open to it.
Okay. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we want to talk about staff. We want to talk about the latest negotiations, and it appears that if you're a manager there, that there's been some changes in their take-home pay.
There has.
Okay. This is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, our guest, Les Baugh. Is there something going to happen at the end of this, Bob? Or am I just listening to
this? Yes, wait a
minute.
Here we come. We're coming. Here we go. Wait. One more. It's coming right after this. Here we go.
There better be something happening here.
Oh, I thought I... Okay, wait.
Okay, turn it off. Just turn it off. I never want to hear that again. Never want to hear that again.
You know, it feels like sunshine.
I never want to hear
well,
that
too
again.
Well, too bad. I do. And it's 42 degrees, and it feels like the sun's out when you hear that. It's positive, and it's 8:23 in the morning. Doesn't that feel good if you're just getting in the car, and you're like, oh, wow.
I thought you were going to start singing.
Well, you know what? We thought there was going to be like, don, 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 but no, it's just bad.
Does
Bob
it always
playing
have to
some
be?
Kind of,
no.
Yeah, well, yeah, Bob.
No.
Bob, it is 8:24 in the morning on March the 4th, and yes, we need it. We need to be bumped. We need to get that blood rolling. This portion of the show is brought to you by B&T Satellite. And Doug Cooley puts in Dish Satellite. Give him a call at 244-1988. He guarantees his work. He's a local guy. Our guest, Les Baugh. And we've heard things during the break that we're not going to share. Don't worry. Don't worry. We won't share that, Les.
Oh, sure.
About
won't.
The Baugh family reunion.
There you go.
Hey, let's go. Let's talk about y'all have done some done negotiations with management.
We have.
At the county, and there's been some big changes. What are they?
You know, and the management negotiations come on the tail end of over a year worth of negotiations. We've successfully, with employees' help, we've moved through the entire workforce, and we have made agreements with all of the various representatives and now represented unions. Now, these are the unrepresented management employees, and they, too, now have joined the rest of the employees and will be paying their PERS completely.
Their all of the 100% of their CalPERS,
100%
right?
of their PERS. So that's 7% for those employees.
Okay, now I understand that this year it's like 100-something thousand, but from now on it's going to be like 500,000?
It adds up really fast.
A year?
If you take it countywide, it comes to millions of dollars.
Right.
The employees have now agreed to partner with the county. Frankly, if we hadn't had the employees come alongside of the county, we would be in a very difficult financial situation.
Yeah. Well, I applaud yeah. whatever you all did, and I mean, I applaud that, and I applaud our employees.
I do too.
For
we call them
like
partners
that.
For a reason.
Well, you know, and the thing is that with that much money, I mean, you know, that you're going to be saving. Hopefully, that can be put back into you know, another deputy or something. You know, infrastructure.
It continues our ability to serve the public. Period.
Yeah.
Bottom
yeah.
line.
That, you know, when I read about that, and I know that y'all have been having, y'all have a maybe a different relationship or you know with your employees. I know the city has at times been contentious, but I think that has solved. I mean, that has settled down since the election, I think. But then, you know, you're giving me that look there, less like maybe it hasn't.
You know, I just think there's a different way to approach. We actually like the people we work with.
Well, and you don't know that they don't like each other.
But I hear all of this contention. I hear all these comments about the employees. And I think the average person that's going in for service, whether it's from one of their sheriff's deputies or it's a clerk across the counter, you want a person that's going to be helpful and polite and knowledgeable. And I think it benefits us to encourage and promote those abilities in our coworkers. not to chew at them because of past decisions that politicians made. And I'll take credit for that, too, on the Anderson City Council. We made decisions that put us in the present situation of having higher rates and more bargain for benefits. And we're in a position in our country that says that doesn't work any longer, and we had to come to an agreement. We sat down with the various representatives of unions and their groups, and we simply talked about it, and we worked it out together. And it was fairly non-contentious.
Okay. We have a lot of questions that come rolling through here. One of them is, I'd like to know why county offices do not honor the Freedom of Information Act. I know several people that have asked for certain records that fall under public information, and their requests are not even acknowledged.
Well, that's a pretty general question. If it's truly a Freedom of Information Act request, it's required by law that the county respond, and within a certain number of days. I don't know what that person might be referring to. If they walked in and talked to an employee in the hallway and said, gee, I sure need this information, that probably didn't get them anywhere. But
it's
if they made a formal request,
so
it would
how
have
would
to
they do it? A formal request?
Yeah, there's
this
a simple form. They can be filled out online and then go to any department and make that request.
And if they've done that and nothing's happened, what would be their
you
next
know what?
Point
if they really have thing? Done that and it hasn't, take it up the food chain. I would say call and make an appointment with your supervisor. I get those calls all the time. There have been some cases where I think the county should have responded faster. Here's my response. My response is, unless it's prohibited by law, it involves an employee's personal identification or some type of property negotiation that should not be shared publicly today, and as it belongs in closed session or a legal matter, let's give it to them. Let's not fight this silly stuff. This is America. Let's just provide the information.
Well, that's it. You know, yeah. But there should be a paper trail. You almost, you know, you need a paper trail. You always need a paper trail that says, okay, I requested it. Here's my copy of it. This is my request. To what happened to my request? You know, so they can go up and put it on your desk. Now, what happens if the supervisor goes, well, you know, they should be doing it, and you agree, but it still doesn't happen?
Well, what I would do is, we're an elected body. We employ a county administrative officer, Larry Lees. If I found a situation that I didn't think was proper, I would take that piece of paper. I'd run into Larry and say, Larry, what are you going to do about this? He works for the board. That's our contact. And I have no doubt he'd follow through on it.
Okay.
It
yeah.
has happened many times. I was a guest of the Sons of Liberty, the Tea Party, the other day. Someone asked me that very question. I gave him my personal number. I said, call me. I'll look into it. No call. You know, you can't do what people don't follow through with.
No, that's absolutely true. And that is so important. You know, it's right then other things take.
I just want to say, Shasta County residents, not that many of them know how lucky we are to have a savvy cat like Larry Lees as the CAO. He is a great guy.
The guy's amazing. And people are approachable, and let's not forget that. Look them in the eyes, tell them your problem. Don't be an armchair slinger. Just get in there and get your fingers
okay.
wet.
All right. Now, the comment is, thank you. You know, the person that wrote this and said, we have put it in writing, put it all in writing. They have 10 days to respond. We are at over 40 days. So I would say then to go into your supervisor or just go straight to Larry. Right?
Either way.
Either way.
Either way.
And you know what? And you know, for the person writing this, let us know what happens with this. You know, if you've done this and you've got the and you're still waiting and you go up, you take it up to that next step, let us know about it because then we can ask. Okay. How much time we got left there at Bad Bomb?
Coming up.
That's right
about
now.
How much time?
Carl and about Free Fire Radio. We get back, we've got people on the line, and we're going to be talking about unions, nationwide and local. Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media, and Carl and Linda Bott. It's 8:34 in the morning on March the 4th. This portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off the Athens Avenue, D.C. Tim and the Man in Black. You know, Man in Black is because he doesn't want his name. He's a great barber, not a hairstylist. He's just a great barber. They give great haircuts. They give discounts to veterans. They support our community. I can't say enough about them. It's a place of good humor, good conversation, and it's man's last stronghold. So, Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue. Go down and visit them. Get your haircut there. You'll have a great time. Our guest, Les Ball.
Welcome back to the program, Les.
Good to be here.
Do you want to quickly talk about the Arts Council?
If you'd like.
Yeah.
What's going on with the Arts Council? Every time you turn around, there's another one getting shot out of a cannon here.
You know.
That's what it sounds like.
That's what it sounds like. You know, I did have an appointee to the Shasta County Arts Council, And in the midst of all of this controversy a year ago when the director left, she decided to also step off. She felt like she wasn't contributing well, and that it would be better if she simply didn't participate. Since that time, and until the board kind of settles down a little bit, I've chosen not to make an appointment to the Arts Council, and I'd like to see it kind of heal and work better together. And
yeah, it's just, it's kind of, I mean, it's, you know, they had one that lasted for 4 months and one lasted 2 weeks. I mean, the directors, and this is after you did like a worldwide search. So that must be, I don't, you know, are we losing money over this?
I don't know the answer to that. Yeah, each of the board members at the county is able to make their own appointee from their district to the council, and that's what that person is.
I think it's an important thing here because we support the arts here. I was a little surprised. We've got all types of people on the phone line, so you ready? John, welcome.
Good morning again, Carl,
yeah,
Linda.
Welcome back.
And Les, it's good to have you with us, and congratulations on your reelection.
Thanks, John.
I have two questions for you. I'm going to give you the short one first. Have you reached out to Corky and Chris for input about their unique concerns that motivated them to run against you?
Actually, I have, especially with Corky. Chris was not as receptive during the process or after the election, but Corky certainly was. We've met a couple of times, and he is going to co-chair with me a group of interested citizens that would like to take a look at Shasta County planning. And that was one of the major issues that was brought by all of the candidates.
Yes.
And going forward, I believe that this small group of individuals, now this is an unofficial group of people, we're calling it a development team. We hope to begin our first meeting here maybe the 1st of April. We're putting together the members of that team right now. And we want to just take a close look at how we treat the guests that come into county planning and see if we can make a few simple suggestions as how to do a better job.
Last question, and this one's a little more lengthy. Do you see any way the county can find $1.5 million to reopen the closed floor of the county jail and, of course, the operating funds to continue it? The need is obvious and rapidly becoming a meltdown priority. If there's anything that can be done, we need to do it. But do you see any movement on that or any headway that can be made?
John, short, simple answer, no. And, in fact, it's even going to become worse. With the 0.5% gas tax money that's going to sunset in June, we anticipate the Sheriff's Department, along with that and a couple of other areas, will be short $2.1 million. Now, you said correctly, a floor of the jail is about $1 million, $1.5 million. That could mean another floor of the jail. I don't think any member of the board wants that to happen. I don't believe that'll be the result. But my bottom line is that not only will the floor not be able to open, we're going to be short another couple million dollars in that department. And that's the money we have to find just to keep services that exist today from going downhill.
Hey, John,
do you see any viable solution?
Yeah, there are a couple of viable solutions. State of California stops stealing the money that belongs to counties, get its financial house in order. If the state would simply not overspend, they wouldn't have to continue to take money from the counties, and we could pay our bills. Yeah. We do pay our bills, by the way, but we could pay all of those public safety needs that we want.
In the meantime, we've got an enormous number of criminals on the streets that are causing us a lot of trouble and a lot of threats.
I agree with you.
Okay,
right,
John. Hey, John, thanks a lot.
We're
You're welcome, guys.
Thanks. Have a great day. We're going to go to our second caller. Pat, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You're live on the air.
Thank you.
Hi, Pat.
Good morning. I've been working with the Forest Service and the transportation problem we have in the forest. And I was wondering if the county supervisors are going to invoke the Committee for Coordination to work with the Forest Service.
We already did invoke coordination. We made that decision over a year and a half ago, and as you probably read in the local media, you've heard it on this station, my prior times here on the radio, you've read it, heard it. We have indicated our need to sue the Forest Service because they have not coordinated with us. Now, this is their mandate to coordinate. We've invoked that right that we have as a county representing the people. The Forest Service has not moved forward in that direction. Now, that's the old news. The new news is behind the scenes, because of some pressure put on by folks like McClintock and Wally Herger, kind of pulling away the purse strings of the Forest Service, Randy Moore has come back to the county and said we'd like to re-engage. We have just begun those discussions, and what that looks like going forward, I can't tell you. But what I can tell you is that where we had not even had a return phone call for over a year, now we are receiving phone calls. He called me personally and talked for over 35 minutes and simply said we would like to re-engage. Let's move forward. We continue to meet to decide what that looks like.
Okay. Are you asking for volunteers for the coordination committee?
We're not asking for anything yet. We're simply deciding what we can do to get us together. We're not together yet.
Okay.
And Pat,
is there any way that you might know how long it's going to take? And can they keep us out of the forest until your two parties get together?
When they produced or published their record of decision, their ROD, and we based our appeal on their record of decision, they immediately put into place the removal of the ML3 roads, and so that was immediate. Now, their intention going forward was to then decide if they were going to put any of those back into place, but you know, when government takes away, what do we get back? I don't believe that either. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to simply start again at the beginning and say, no, you shouldn't have taken them away. We need the ML3 roads. There's no reason for it. That's what we're working toward, and that's our hope. That's the bottom line. And in terms of duration, we have 5 years from the time that we appealed that we could file a lawsuit, so it could go on for a long time. We don't want it to go on that long. We'd like to settle it sooner rather than later.
Okay. Hey, Pat, we have to take a break. Those are great questions.
Wonderful,
thank you.
Pat.
And stay tuned to the station, because I want Les to promise us that as these things happen, that he gives us he comes back on and we can keep up on this, especially if you need help or like this with this. With the forest, and you know, not the secret negotiations or behind closed doors, but just to let everybody know what's going on here.
Absolutely.
It's too important for us not to be. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460. Home of Free Fire Media, it's Carl and Linda Bot, 8:45 in the morning on March the 4th. This portion of the show is brought to you by the Backbone Brew at 2143 Hilltop Drive. A great place, great walk-in humidor, Espresso Joe's, the kind of a coffee. And as it gets warmer, they have icy drinks, too. And they've got a place you can sit down, drink your coffee or your iced drink or whatever you want there and have a free Wi-Fi. Joe and Shelley, great Americans, support our community. Been there for a long time. They support our veterans. They support a lot of people. That's the Backbone Brew. Our guest, Les Ball. And Les, there's been a lot of, you know, talking offline about the Forest Service. You know, you have to keep pursuing them. There's the question from one of our chat room is, Redding as a charter city, what kind of impact would that have on the county?
You know, we have a great relationship with our cities from a county perspective. I don't believe that changes my job or the county's responsibilities any. It would change the city of Redding, certainly. They operate as an independent city, independent of county government, and that would remain the same from our perspective.
Okay. So that stays.
Yeah, we would still have a great working relationship with the city of Redding. Absolutely.
Whether it's a charter city or not.
Absolutely.
Okay. One of the things we talked about across the nation right now, and we're going to let's expand that a little bit here. Before the show, you and I were talking about unions and what's going on in the different states. And you said the statement you made was, you know, we could be watching something right now that our children will be talking about, you know, decades from now.
I think this particular year is a turning point in our nation. We are a part of history. It will be our children and our grandchildren look back and say, that's a year that a lot of changes took place in the United States of America. I believe that with all my heart. We're seeing a tremendous outreach from the public saying, I want to be more involved. I want to know more. And that was my point of bringing the message to you. Let's get involved locally, too. Not just on a national basis. Let's get involved locally. Know what our government's all about.
The unions that are, you know, the battle that's going on in Wisconsin has reached a new zenith, I think. Now they said that they can't. They're holding them in contempt, and I guess they can't. They're not going to send people after them into other states. But they said they could arrest them and pull them back in. They're fining them $250 for every one of the Democratic state senators that refused to show up. Ohio just voted to cut back on or to have the unions pay into the retirement plans and took away a lot of their collective bargaining. Not all of it, but a lot of it. Tennessee is looking at it right now. I mean, it seems to be something that's going through the country is the public and the public unions.
And it is everywhere. It's happening everywhere. And even in the state of California, there's a lot of questions being asked. This is the part that is missing for me. We didn't have any of those challenges here at the county level. I do see some of them at the city level. And I'm wondering, where were the conversations that simply took place, or did we just start fighting each other for the sake of fighting each other? I really do believe in the process of sitting down and having the conversation. We had the unions willingly coming to us here in Shasta County saying, we want to participate in this. We understand that we all have to participate to survive. Where is that understanding in the states that are fighting each other? I believe it should be there. And if they don't, they're missing something. The unions need to get involved for their very survival, as do those in office like myself.
Yeah, you know, that's true. But I think, you know, I think things have been getting just a little bit, you know, tougher. As long as the economy was fine, nobody was saying anything. But as soon as the economy went into the doldrums here, then people started looking at, and the state started, you know, having billion-dollar deficits, not a million, but billions of dollars in deficits. They were starting to look at things, and they started looking at pay. They started looking at perks. They started looking at things that the unions had and these were negotiated. And I'm not knocking this for anybody that's listening. I'm not knocking this, but these were negotiated and negotiated fairly at a time. And now things have changed, and the public did get, the taxpayers did get involved with it, and so we're at that point where it's like, how did, you know, why can't we get together and say, hey, look, for the next couple of years, it's tough. We're going to, you know, let's concede things, like, you know, say Shasta County did, and say, hey, look, we're going to do this, and in 2 or 3 years from now, we're going to go back, and the economy pops up again, you know, we'll take a look at it again.
You know, and we have had many other entities throughout the state of California and actually across the Western United States call and talk with Shasta County saying, how did this happen that you actually sat down and worked it out reasonably with one another? I'd like to see the entire United States just simply work it out. Yeah. It makes me glad to be a part of Shasta County.
No, it does.
I can't solve the problems of the nation, but I'm grateful that we have made a lot of inroad here in the county.
I think this will be a bellwether of what happens this year, and it's going to be interesting. And we, of course, we will be following it here. Carl and Linda Bott, our guest is Les Baugh, a supervisor for the county of Shasta. And join us after these messages.
Neither
will our chat room. My Spartans here. I feel like Leonidas, and you are my Spartans in the chat room. You know, my 300. It's 8:54 in the morning on March the 4th. It's a Friday. There's a lot of things to do this weekend, and our guest is Les Baugh. And there was a Les, one quick question before we get to this other thing is, could you, before you leave, announce again the days, times, and specific location of the county meetings?
We meet every Tuesday, with some exceptions. We publish our agenda online. If there's a holiday, there are certain weeks of the year that we have excluded. But in general, each Tuesday, 9 a.m., in the County Administrative Building, that's on Court Street. It's right next to the courthouse. It's immediately north of the courthouse. And that's on the second floor, or what appears to be the ground floor.
Great. Okay, before you leave, we got a few minutes here. Low-income, high-density housing.
You know, that's become a major topic in my district in Cottonwood, and also in Mr. Haas's district in the Intermountain area. And bottom line is, the state is mandating that we comply with the housing for low-income, high-density housing, to supply a certain number of areas that these could be built. What most people are confused about is that we are not, as a county, in the building business. We will not be building these houses, but in order to jump through the hoops, as we've always had to for many, many years, we must supply and acknowledge that we have an inventory of a property that they could be built on. Now, bottom line is that we have property already they could be built on. We only have 187 units in the entire county. We're short legally by state standards. We need another 783. If people really wanted to build these, investors, they'd be built already. But nobody wants to build them.
Right now.
They're not tremendously profitable, and it's not exactly the right season to do it.
Yeah. Well, right now. I mean, but they could, you know, a year from now, I think, is what people are worried about, or 2 years from now, I think.
Even in the height of our economy here, we had one that took 3 years to get through, $7.5 million in Anderson. I don't see this happening. The bottom line is I've been challenged with this. Les, we just want you to vote no on this. So I did some research. If I voted no, what would be giving up? I'd be giving up all of the community development block grant monies in Shasta County. In the last few years alone, that was $6 million. And then there is a relationship between one grant and the other grant. How you fare and how many grants you get in one area depends or helps determine what other grants you get. We could have had a record against us for things like bridges, things like airports that we've gotten money for. It comes to tens of millions of dollars.
One of the guests says, as Gary says, televised and websized, web eyes, all meetings, then more people might be interested in the issues and be more valuable voters. And I think what we need to do is that we need to, when the council meetings are happening, when they're being run on TV, we need to always make an announcement, whether in our chat room or as we start our day, that remember today at this particular time, if you turn into this particular station, you're going to get to see what happened with city council. Tape it. If you're at work, tape it. I mean, how many people don't have DVR, and you should have DVR? That way you can keep abreast on what's going on. Just try to figure out a way to record.
Well, webizing it is, you know, Bob, Ed Bob. You know, if people wanted to, you know, when they do this, run it out over the internet, they could do that so people could watch it on
their
computer.
Once it is posted, the file is always there to be downloaded on demand.
Sure. So
we can generally archive.
Okay. Les, somebody said, glad you came on the show. You're truly concerned.
Your practical approach to government.
It's good to be here. You guys just, I have a lot of fun with you every time
we come
in.
Well, you know, we like to get in.
Sometimes
and
we're peckish.
Yeah, sometimes
that's
we're
what
peckish.
I said. You harass me.
Well, you know, it's you take it well. And there's some people, if you do that with, they just, that's it. It works on their heads.
There was a little
unleashing. We don't do that.
It takes an abrasive to keep an edge sharp.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go.
And here's Bad Bob's in a fist fight with Dennis in the chat room.
There's
I
a
love
little
it.
Unleashing going on.
I have disconnected from
that. Okay. I know, because if people get their burr up, but you know what? It's great to,
not
to
for
feel.
Me.
It's great to feel. And, you know, sometimes people make broad statements, and that's what we're here for. I mean, it's like, let's get specific. And thank you for coming and helping us get specific. I think there was great, valuable information. You can always go back and hear in the archives at KCNR, you can hear the program today.
That's right. And all of our shows being archived. Next week, we've got a lot of people coming on. We're going to be talking about the committee there for the Charter City. We'll have some people on from that. We're going to be talking local businesses. We're going to be talking, again, more politicians, more politics, and, you know, things that are happening in our community. We love having you here in my 300 in the chat room.
Currently 44 degrees. Make it a beautiful day. We're going to have great weather today. And, of course, we'll see you out at where all the fish is happening.
Kent's
Meats tomorrow. Lots of food going on this weekend with the Dutch oven cook-off at the county fair. And
right.
So on and so on.
Right. So you all have a safe weekend, and we will be back on Monday with our next group. And we're going to be talking on Monday, too, about some things that happened at that city council meeting yesterday. We'll get a little bit more on, a little bit deeper into some of the subjects there. This is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. And just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys.
Thank
Which
you.
Are you?
Thank you for joining us on KCNR 1460.